At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
The Bible tells us that to minister to the needs of God's creation is an act of worship. To ignore those needs is to dishonor the God who made us. And that is just what we're doing by walking away from this accord.
The American left liked Russia a whole lot more when it was Marxist and communist than the American left likes Russia now.
The fundamental problem for every society is the unattached male.
The fact of the virginal conception, the fact that she is the Theotokos, the mother of God and so forth. We rejoice in those things because they tell us something special, not about Mary, but instead they tell us something special about Jesus, about who he is.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
One news outlet says ISIS, the Islamic State, calls for attacks in the West, in Russia, Middle East, Asia, during the holy month of Ramadan, according to an audio message that was put out, allegedly from ISIS, that reads, "O lions of Mosul, Raqqa, and Tal Afar, God bless those arms, pure and bright faces, charge against the rejectionists and the apostates, and fight them with the strength of one man." It is, at least as it reads, a call for violence during the holy month of Ramadan, for Muslims, of course, against both Muslims and, well, apostates usually means non-Muslims as well. Is that part of traditional Ramadan observance for Muslims and for Islam? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the ISIS calls for attacks during Ramadan and some U.S. protests both against and, oddly, for Sharia law. Dr. Adam Francisco will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be talking about David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller continues our series on Christian devotion. We've been talking about Martin Luther's fourfold strand of prayer, ending with prayer itself. We'll see how that all fits into Christian devotion. Joy Pullman of the Federalist will join us to talk about millennial self-care and narcissism. Then round everything off today with Pastor Heath Curtis, author of the book Ordering Our Days in His Peace, an introduction to the Christian Church here. There's a recent column in the New Yorker titled How St. Augustine Invented Sex. It's claiming that Augustine, what did he do? He took Genesis literally. He introduced the concept of original sin and invented modern sex. We'll see what Pastor Heath Curtis has to say about all of that in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Feel free to join us over the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. The Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the Islamic State calling for increased attacks during Ramadan and some U.S. Sharia law protests, Dr. Adam Francisco, Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California, and author of the book Martin Luther and Islam. Dr. Francisco, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
Is it part of traditional observance or piety or action for Islam historically to call for violence during Ramadan against fellow Muslims or non-Muslims?
No, not at all. Ramadan is, during the month of Ramadan, Muslims are to be not in a state of repentance, but they're supposed to be fasting from sunup to sundown. And in fact, in Islamic law, there's a specific exemption from jihad during the month of Ramadan. So ISIS or ISIL or Daesh is kind of overturning that, and it might be just because of necessity, you know, under the principle necessity knows no law. So, but usually Ramadan's a, if you will, a peaceful month for Muslims.
Just give us the barest of explanations of what Ramadan is. It travels around the year, the calendar year, beginning late in May.
So Ramadan is the ninth month in the Arab lunar calendar, based on the phases of the moon. So they have a few days fewer in their calendar. So that's, every year it's different. But Ramadan is 30 days, and it's a commemoration of the, in their words, the sending down of Allah's word to the so-called prophet Muhammad. I don't think they'd say the so-called prophet, but so they're commemorating that. It starts, the first night is a commemoration of what's called the Night of Power, where in the biography of Muhammad, Muhammad was sitting in a cave and felt a presence. He was pushed to the floor of the cave, one source says, and he begins to hear voices in the cave. Another source says was illuminated by light, and that begins Muhammad's whole prophetic career. And so the month is designed just to commemorate that. Muslims will oftentimes during Ramadan recite the whole Quran over those 30 days. The real devout will recite it each day. It depends where you are geographically. That will oftentimes determine the practice.
So it's simply a month of special devotion where Muslims do what Muslims are probably called upon to do by the Quran all
yes.
all the rest of the year, but more intensely.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
So how would you evaluate what ISIS is doing by, as you said, they're kind of breaking with the script, so to speak, by calling for violent attacks against, and I think it's against both Muslims, that would be probably Shiites, mm-hmm. and everyone else.
Yeah, well, in the view of ISIS and these other organizations like Al-Qaeda, and I mean, going all the way to the more nonviolent, at least presently, groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, they have this idea that there is no such thing anymore as what we might call Islamic civilization, or in their terminology, Darul Islam. And so the laws that organize Islamic civilization, they make no sense in the present circumstances. And so what's normative, or what has been normative in the past, is no longer so. And so there's lots of, and one of the things that's curious about Islamic law is while it's supposed to be really static and wouldn't and correspond directly to the Quran and the traditions of Islam, the more you read into it, you realize just how many exceptions are made in all aspects of Islamic law. And so while the normal practice is to suspend hostilities during Ramadan, if circumstance requires it, then you can do something differently, such as what ISIS is doing. And ISIS, so the person who issued this call to violence, interestingly, he is a Texas-born convert to Islam. He goes by several different names, but he quickly became an Islamic or a scholar in Islamic law and attached himself to a school known as the Zahiri School, which is kind of an outlier in traditional Islam. It's considered orthodox, but it's not one of the four mainstream schools of law. And in Zahiri law, the exception or exemption from violence during Ramadan isn't even a discussion. In Zahiri law, Muslims are always to be struggling or engaging in jihad in the path of Allah.
So would you expect, well, can we reasonably expect peace-loving Muslims and Muslims here in the United States who purport to be peace-loving to react to this call by ISIS for violence during Ramadan based upon what Ramadan is supposed to be in the devotional life, so to speak, of the Muslim?
Well, yeah. Can we expect the more moderate Muslim to kind of ignore that? Is that what you're asking? Or to maybe be activated by it?
Well, to respond to it saying this is not what Ramadan is for.
Oh, one would hope, but you know, we've been kind of waiting for that sort of response to terrorism or Islamic jihad since September 11th, and it's there are a handful of Muslims in the United States, for example. Zudi Jasser would probably be the more famous one, who was the man who was did the documentary The Third Jihad, and he's called for an absolute rejection of the more extreme forms of Islam. But interestingly, generally speaking, whether your numbers are kind of all over the map, but anywhere between 3.3 million to 10 million Muslims in the U.S., you'd expect more voices than, say, 12. And partly Muslim, the more liberal-minded Muslims are maybe fearful of speaking out. I mean, Zudi Jasser, I'm pretty sure, has a price on his head. Or maybe they're quiet because they're just sort of waiting it out to see what ultimately happens and where they'll place their allegiance ultimately.
Another subject I wanted to discuss with you, Dr. Francisco, in the time left to us, is there were some protests. This is from CNN. A right-wing group was protesting, at least that's how CNN puts it, a right-wing group was protesting
right.
Islamic or Sharia law on Saturday, and they clashed in Seattle and in Minneapolis and other cities with counter-protesters who appeared to be defending Sharia law. How do you read these incidents?
Yeah, well, so the group, the alleged right-wing group, and they are a very conservative group, and right-wing probably isn't inaccurate. It's called Act for America, and I believe they're the largest, they like to call themselves a counter-jihad organization, and they are, as the CNN article describes them, it describes them as anti-Muslim, or I think that might be the Southern Poverty Law Center says that. They aren't really anti-Muslim. They certainly are. I think it's fair to say they're anti-Islam. And I mean, they're sort of, their whole reason for existing is to resist the encroachment or the extension of Islamic interests, Islamic law, and other things in American society. And but the issue with Act for America, they generally do good work. Men like Robert Spencer, Ayan Hirsi Ali, I don't know that they're members of Act for America, but they're very close to it. They do good work in alerting us to the ideology of classic, traditional, very conservative Islam. But they oftentimes fail to kind of make distinctions when it comes to dealing with particular Muslims that, they tend to abstract from the more extreme forms of Islam and assume most Muslims are like that. And so they're a good organization, but they do kind of go a bit too far occasionally, or they focus on certain things to the exclusion of others. But in terms of their protests, they do this a lot here in Orange County. Even some of the local shopping malls, Act for America will set up booths or tables and pass out literature there. And it's interesting watching what the reaction is to them. Obviously, the Muslims don't like them so much. In fact, I have friends in Act for America, and they're oftentimes not physical but verbal confrontations between Act for America and Muslims, but also from the American left, the liberals. They perceive Act for America, as some of the signs from the CNN article suggest, as racist. And there's even one placard that said the First Amendment extends to everybody, including Muslims. And so this protest and the counter-protests are, I think, in many ways, just kind of an extension of what's going on in our national political landscape, with the growing divide between the right and left.
Now, what do you make of the counter-protests there that seem to be not simply saying don't be mean to Muslims, but defending the concept of Sharia law? I have a hard time believing that people who believe in freedom and especially the kind of tolerance that is advocated by the left, or at least ostensibly advocated by the left, could know much about Sharia law in order to defend it.
Yeah, those who defend Sharia law who are not Muslims probably have no clue what Sharia law is or what the content is. Because Sharia law is pretty, when it's in full force, if you are not Muslim, you're at best, in the case of Christians and Jews, second-class citizens. And if you're not a Christian or a Jew, let's say you're an atheist or a Zoroastrian or whatever it might be, you really don't have the right to exist under the full force of Sharia law. So it doesn't make sense to me. I did see a sign. It was I think it was LGBT or something for Sharia law or something like that. And you'll find if you're, as we see in Iraq today, if you're discovered to be a homosexual, you might find yourself being punished by being thrown off the top of a building. So it's just done from complete ignorance. And it's what it is ultimately the left and its ideology that's so delusional that they don't even look at the facts first because they think that they know what's right, regardless of what the case might actually be.
With that said, is Sharia law something that actually could in part be introduced or influence laws in the U.S.?
Yeah, I don't think it should, but I certainly think it could. I mean, if you look at the parallel, the Jewish community, in some Jewish communities, they are permitted when it comes to domestic issues, things of divorce and adoption, inheritance, and so on. They're permitted to settle disputes, legal disputes, on the basis of Jewish law, and Muslims who are advocating for Sharia law being brought into our legal system are arguing that they're being discriminated against if they're not allowed to consult Sharia law when it comes to domestic issues. But you give Sharia law an inch, you'll find out that it will take a mile. So it's unfortunate that we're being inconsistent when it comes to Islam and Sharia law. But I can see a day. In fact, I think there are places, I think of maybe southern Michigan in and around Denver, Dearborn in particular, where local courts will consult what they'll call international law, which is just a guise for consulting Sharia law.
Dr. Adam Francisco is Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California, and author of the book Martin Luther and Islam. Concordia University, Irvine's Master of Arts in Theology program allows you to pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus summer sessions. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology. That's cui.edu/theology. Dr. Francisco, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time teaching a Sunday school lesson on David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the for you of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th, in Houston.
Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.